You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friska. This message was recorded on July 7, 2021, and is titled, The Minister's Sword. Grab your Bible, and let's join Steve and the message.
I believe 1784 is right. I may have that date wrong. But he gave a speech to America, and that he likened Independence Day to the Passover, when the nation of Israel was delivered from the hand of Pharaoh by the slaughtering of the lamb and putting the blood over the lintel, and when God saved them from the spirit of death and then led them by Moses out into the wilderness and led them out of captivity. And Elias Boudinot, along with Madison and a few other guys, they all likened the 4th of July to that moment in history when the colonies claimed their freedom from the tyranny of the King of England. And they embarked on an adventure, on an experiment of freedom. You see, this life in America is about freedom. Not free to do everything you want, but we're free to do what we ought. We're free from tyranny. We're free from dictatorship. It's freedom. We talked about it here last week, I think it was, about true freedom coming from the open heaven. In so much Christianity today, we put heaven in a place far away, and we got Jesus hanging out there somewhere. The truth of the matter is we dwell in the presence of the Lord. He was raised from the dead to fill the universe. You hear me quoted all the time, but the Bible tells us that earth is his footstool and heaven is his throne. In Acts 17, where Paul explains to a bunch of Greek philosophers, he tells them that God created all things and ordained nations with borders. He ordained their times and their places for the simple reason that men would grope among the earth and seek the Lord and find him. In that same scripture, he says that God does not dwell in buildings built by human hands, but then quotes the poets of the Psalms and says, "For the Lord, we are his offspring, and he is not far from us. The Lord is near." And so when we've taken it upon ourselves to, in the captivity of our minds, we've been trained and taught to place God in a faraway place, but then come to other places and expect him to show up. You see, I've been to plenty of deals and I've had plenty of lively discussions. "Come, Holy Spirit." Really? Where'd he go? I want to know where he went. Yeah, I told a really good friend of all of ours one day, he was doing that, and he had a sledgehammer in his hand. I almost thought I was going to get hit with it. He said, I'm just believing the Holy Spirit's going to come. And I said, "I hope you're not the dumb sucker that made him leave." Where did he go? Where does he dwell? You see, because of the Passover, we now have an open heaven. Because the true Lamb, Jesus Christ, died for your sins and mine, that all of us could have a second chance. And by repentance and submission, we now come into the presence of the Lord. Because when Jesus breathed his last, there was a barrier between humankind and the most holy place. And the Bible says that it was rent in two. When Jesus was baptized, heaven opened. The voice of God was heard. "This is my son. whom I love, and with him I'm well pleased. To live under an open heaven is true freedom. We'll battle sin and the entanglements of life as long as we exist on this earth. But the perfection of the Spirit that lives within me has overcome my flesh. My perfection is not in my performance. My perfection is in my faith in the one who is perfect. And just like at the stoning of Stephen, I've seen heaven open and Jesus on his throne. I dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, under the wing of the Most High. That's why we're here tonight, not to teach you how to act, but to continue to share the gospel, continue to crack that door open in individuals' lives. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you have had a glimpse, and some of you are still hoping it happens. It's my job as a representative of the kingdom of God to simply use the scriptures and say, here's what's here. Here's what's available. Tonight we're going to talk about the sword of the minister. Yeah, here's the other trick. You thought the minister was the guy at the front. I wonder whose dumb idea that was. Yeah, because best I can tell, the guy at the front here, he puts his britches on one leg at a time like everybody else. The guy at the front here, he knows what sin is, and he knows how close it is, and he knows how easy it finds you, and he knows how distracting it can be, and he knows how it separated him from God, and he knows how to repent because he's practiced so many multiple times. Too normal to be the minister at the front, and somehow you people keep showing up anyhow. We're all ministers of the gospel. For all who know the Lord, you've got something to tell and a way to live. You don't have anything to tell and you don't know how to live, then it's time to know the Lord. Praying a prayer and blowing some snot does not do anything for you until you've come into the reality of Jesus Christ. Yet at one time, you bow your knee to the Son of God and the Son of Man and you say, here am I. Send me. Give me my sword. I'm ready to be about your business, Father. So tonight we're going to talk about the sword of the minister. Minister's sword. So let's pray. We'll sing a couple songs to give me time to think about what I'm going to say. No, not really. Not really. Lord, we just thank you tonight. We've had a glorious time right here in this building. But Lord, it ain't nothing about this building. It's about your presence. So Lord, continue to pull the curtain back. Expose your kingdom as much as we can handle. Give everyone a glimpse tonight, and some of us give us a bigger look at, Lord, what your kingdom really is, the nearness and nowness. And so, Lord, tonight we thank you for the sword of the Spirit. We thank you for the sword of justice. Lord, let us be about your business. Let us take up our sword and do your bidding, Lord. Now use my voice to bring forth your word, that we might have ears to hear and feet to follow. And may all the glory and honor be yours, Jesus. For you're our Lord, our Savior, you're our hope and our love. We give you all the praise and glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I've been limping around with a bad hip all day. And then I had four people tell me I looked tired after I got here. Well, you know what? I just called bull on all of it. I don't feel tired right now. Anybody feel tired? No, I feel like if somebody come to knock me down, I'd get right back up. How about y'all tonight? Yeah, we've had a glorious day in here today. It's been a wonderful time, and we have been busy. My little bride and I have been busy. Of course, all of y'all are busy, and so we get all of that. But we had a special time. You know, one thing about this little fellowship, we're pretty bad about putting our money where our mouth is. You know, you can preach all you want to about getting outside and making a difference and doing things. Speaking of working your tail off and being busy, Alan and Carolyn, you ought to see the reformation they've done across the street, fixing to move the food pantry in over there. We're fixing to get the child welfare board moved over there. We're going to have the benevolence in our community. It's going to be right across the street, free of charge to everybody involved. And so and we're able to do exceedingly more and abundant than anyone could hope for or imagine because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so people are busy. We're busy doing. But the other part today, we were blessed. We had sheriffs from I don't know how many counties, there's about 15 of them out of this district that came today. We were able to serve them and serve them lunch. I was allowed to speak with them for a little bit, some biblical truths and some things that we've been talking about. We built some good relationships today. The presence of the Lord was definitely visible, and we got to pray with our law enforcement. We had later on then some police chiefs came and some different ones came. Jody Arrington came at 1:30. They had a good discussion in here. I love Jody Arrington. He quotes the Bible almost as much as he quotes the Constitution. He's a guy that's for us, not against it. He believes just like us, and we're blessed to have him in a constitutional republic where we choose representation. He represents exactly how we believe. And so it was a privilege to have him here. We went to another meeting with him later on, and then we went home and did chores and got ready to come back up here. But the reason we're doing all this, look, we're in a battle. We're in a battle for your family. We're in a battle for your children, your children's children. We're in a battle for this United States of America, one nation under God. I don't give a crud what some nunchuck says about anything they believe outside of the truth. The truth is there's a Constitution, Bill of Rights, and Declaration of Independence that was established over 240 years ago that establishes everything we stand on. It was framed through this book. I don't care what anybody says. It was framed through this book. So all the laws of this land should coincide with this book. So the Christian community should be involved. I got to share with the sheriffs today, and I'll read it to you here in a minute out of Romans 13 about the rulers in the land and their sword for dividing good and evil. Well, what I explained to them, I said, look, every one of you swore an oath to the Constitution of the United States of America, correct? And they said, yes. And the Constitution of the State of Texas. But, so I said, okay, let me reiterate the Declaration of Independence, or the familiar part, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. So we don't have to divide up. All lives matter. Okay? We're not hyphenated Americans. We're not Christian Americans. We're not Anglo Americans. We're not Mexican Americans. We're not African Americans. We're not Chinese Americans. I don't think we have Chinese Americans, but maybe some. We do some descent. We got a lot of China that owns a lot of America. But would get my point? We're not hyphenated. We're Americans. Same with Christians. We're not Baptist Christians. We're not Catholic Christians. We're not cowboy Methodical Christians. We're just Christians. We're born again. Therefore, we are the church. We don't go to church. You can't go to something that you are. You come here and assemble so that you can continue to be everything God's called you to be. First of all, a dad or a husband or whatever it is right under your nose. Go home and tend to it. I was explaining, we was having a little visit back there earlier today. The only reason we get in a pile here is so that I can find something. The Holy Spirit give me something to share with all of you that you go back home so that your house is built on the rock. So when the torrent comes, not if the torrent comes, when the torrent comes, you're able to stand. Because you've built the foundation. You know why this nation is still standing? Because it's founded on the foundational documents of the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and Declaration of Independence. Those are not living documents. Those are foundational documents. Therefore, they do not move. That's why for 244 years, this country has stayed under one Constitution when the average amongst the globe is 17 years. But we have continued to stand. Oldest book written. And it still stands. It doesn't move. And it doesn't change because of Hollywood. It doesn't change because of New York. And let me tell you something else. It doesn't change because of seminary. It doesn't change because of your annual conference. No, it's unchanging. And it's solid, and you can stand on it. Build your house on the Word so we can go home. And we can do what we're supposed to do. And that's why I told those sheriffs today. I said, I want to read to you a minute. And one of them came and talked afterwards, and he's an ordained minister. They actually have Romans 13:4 on their cars. He said, if you have any trouble with the liberals telling you you can't put in God we trust on your car, just put a scripture and make them go home and read it. But I read to him out of Romans 13, listen. It said, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So all of a sudden, we've got people in America want to bow down to a godless, Luciferian, liberal agenda that has nothing to do with the Bible. It's tyrannical, and they have gone so far off the constitutional basis of this country that there's no way to get them back. Look. The governing entity of this country is not a man in office. He's been given stewardship over what's already been given. The governing authority in this nation is not only God, but a constitution and a bill of rights. And when we veer off of that and we deviate from original intent, there's a chance that people begin to mandate and make things mandatory, all in the name of manipulation, to promote an agenda for their own self-indulgence. You see, a government that was set up on three branches, according to Isaiah 22:33, God is king, lawgiver, and judge. Therefore, we have executive, legislative, and judicial. Why do we do that? Why is our government a body of three parts for checks and balances so that we get it right? You see what happened in some of our lives? We started out and we were just one part. A lot of families nowadays don't have all three parts. Church wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole anymore. Why? You might tick off somebody sitting in your crowd because most of your crowd has already putzed up one family and we're working on our second one, and now you're going to hurt somebody's feeling. Let me tell you, if you've already done that, that's fine. There's enough grace and enough suspicion. But you know what? You don't have to do it again. Yes. I understand when you kiss a frog and think you're going to get Prince Charming and you wake up 10 years later and you still got a frog. I get it. But you don't dodge the subject because of the generations. You see, I'm just following the leading of the Lord here. You can't make that stool, you can't make a stool stand up without three legs. The God of three persons, the one God, a government, three parts, family. Of a husband, a wife, and a child. It gets established, and you establish your house. Now, all of us came out of a family that had somewhere between one and more legs. Some of us were short. Our stools fell over. Yeah. The next deal is you're called to be a leg. Where are you going to stand? I swear, this is totally unrehearsed. I told Robin a while ago, I said, this will be a good one tonight because I have not got a clue. I ate cinnamon rolls trying to get a message and I could not get one. Get your house built. This nation was built to stand. It wasn't built to crumble. But when you trickle around the outside of the foundation, when you get off the foundation, you don't have anything to stand on. And so our governing entity is the Constitution, Bill of Rights. Now the guy in the White House, he's the guy in charge of that. The guy in the governor's office, he's the guy in charge of that. The guy in your courthouse, he's the guy in charge of that. But it's in charge of him. You swore an oath to it. You submitted to it. See, that's how Jesus works. You see, somewhere along the way, we decided that you could rub the Jesus genie bottle and everything was just fine. Yes, I went to church camp. I prayed the prayer. I blew the snot and I got a girlfriend while I was there. Well, glory, hallelujah. I want to go there. When did you bow your knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and say, here, rebuild my house? Benjamin Franklin said it best at the first Constitutional Convention. When they'd argued for 4 months with the windows boarded up in the middle of the summer and they'd fool around there, it was hot, they didn't have air conditioning back in. The guys, the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists, they were arguing and fussing with each other. And one day, Benjamin Franklin, who your school books would tell you was an atheist, they're liars. And one day he stands in front of the crowd and he says, gentlemen, let me tell you this. And he quotes the 127th Psalm after he quotes the book of Matthew. And he said, if the God of all creation would know when one sparrow would fall to the ground, would he not know the affairs of men and the building of a nation? And then he quotes the 127th Psalm. And he said, if God is not in the building of the house, then the builders labor in vain. If God is not in the building of the house, and the laborers labor in vain. When's the church going to be the third leg? Huh. We had all them sheriffs in here today, and I read to them out of this, and I said, therefore, who resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist bring judgment on themselves, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authorities? Do what's good, and you'll have praise from the same. I'm probably the only guy in here that's ever been in trouble with the law. Just me. But just in case y'all know somebody, you can help them. Yes. There was a time in my life when I could be driving down the road and see somebody in authority, and all of a sudden I would have to cram things under the seat of my pickup. Still today, there's moments when I drive off and I forget what the rules are, and all of a sudden I have to do the famous move. Or you look down while you're driving a Duramax dually and 75 just seems really slow. How many of y'all drove up on a highway patrol and you slammed your brakes and your wife broke her teeth on the dash? You see, if I was obedient to the rules, I wouldn't have to slam on the brake. Or I wouldn't have to chase some guy in the ditch while I'm pulling my seatbelt across. I hadn't done the stuffing under the seat in a long time. That one's way gone. Verse 4. For he's God's minister to you. The law. I read that to the sheriffs today. You are God's minister to us. See, everybody thought the minister was the guy at the front. But I'm going to tell you, you better start checking the mustard on the guy at the front. Because there's a pile of them won't pick up their sword. Sword of the minister. Title of the message tonight. He said, you're God's minister to do good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. And I told those guys, I said, you're servants of God.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message, The Minister's Sword. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. For Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.